Hi, everybody. I'm Tanzina Vega, and it's The Takeaway. In an executive order last Wednesday, President Trump rolled back an Obama-era policy that set guidelines for how the U.S. reports the number of people killed in drone strikes outside of designated combat zones. The rule change has transparency advocates worried, particularly over how it could limit access to data on civilian death tolls. Jeremy Scahill is a co-founder and investigative reporter for The Intercept. Thanks for being with us, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Complicated issue. Let's talk about what Trump's executive order is meant to do.
Well, at the end of the Obama administration, Obama, a constitutional law scholar, was concerned about if Trump wins, the trust me, I'm a lawyer, I know what I'm doing, which is how he got a lot of liberals to support drone strikes. He started saying, oh my God, what if Hillary doesn't win? So they quickly put together a set of rules that ACLU and other civil liberties groups and journalists have been pushing for, be more transparent. So what Trump is doing is basically just saying, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to maintain the secrecy. And, you know, a lot of this is coming from people within his neocon wing of the administration who are basically saying Congress has no business knowing anything unless we decide to tell them, because under Article 2 of the Constitution, Commander-in-Chief is essentially a dictator when it comes to national security policy.
That's a pretty intense statement there.
Well, this is the theory of the unitary executive. And the fact that Trump now has William Barr as his attorney general is part of, I think, why you're seeing this happen right now. I think Barr probably came on board and with the national security stuff signed off on a bunch of things that had been being debated. And because of the netherworld with Jeff Sessions didn't happen. But let's remember, Obama was no grand hero of transparency on this issue. I mean, he authorized the killing, including of American citizens who hadn't even been charged with crimes. So what we're seeing under Trump, yes, it's rolling back the clock a bit, but we didn't have any great shakes under Obama. From the beginning, this whole thing has been shrouded in secrecy, and Trump is just sort of doubling down on that a bit more than Obama did.
So I want to go back to, I want to follow up on this Obama policy with drones. A producer at The Takeaway here talked to Ned Price, who is a spokesman for the National Security Council under Obama, and he said that the Obama administration's decision in 2016 to start disclosing drone strike data from non-combat zones was less about transparency and more of a strategic decision. Let's take a listen.
Strategic in the sense that for the first time, it allowed the administration to rebut with actual facts and figures the misinformation and even disinformation that terrorist groups and other adversaries around the globe put out in an attempt to undermine public confidence in and perception of the effectiveness and the accuracy and the results of American drone strikes, of our counterterrorism operations around the world.
What is he saying, Jeremy?
Well, he's saying basically when we do a drone strike and we kill a bunch of terrorists, Al-Qaeda will say, oh, you also killed 20 civilians. I understand the logic of what Ned's saying. I think it's based on a bit of fallacy, though, because the fact is that when the CIA kills people in drone strikes or the military, unless a journalist or a human rights organization posthumously proves they were a civilian, the policy of the Democrats, Republicans, U.S. government is that they are enemies killed in action. So if 10 people are killed in a drone strike and the one bad guy you said was the target is killed, until those other identities are confirmed or known, the presumption of the U.S. government is that they were enemies killed in action. So Ned is sort of playing around with, he's not saying something counterfactual, but he's playing around with what's actually important in this. If you want to stop, and I know this from my time on the ground in these undeclared war zones, Yemen, Somalia, elsewhere, if you want to stop terrorist recruiting and the propaganda is your issue, don't kill civilians. That's the real issue.
Jeremy, as I mentioned, we spoke to Ned Price, and he walked us through a little bit of the Obama administration's decision-making process on drone strikes.
He made clear that we had to determine, first and foremost, that other options, including capture, weren't feasible, that we had to determine that there was near certainty that non-combatants wouldn't be injured in any such operation, and that targeted terrorists would be present.
How different or accurate is that compared to what Trump is trying to do?
Well, first of all, I can point to several specific cases where that wasn't true. where, in fact, a 16-year-old American citizen was killed, and they claim he was not the target of the strike, where U.S. persons that were being held prisoner or European people that were being held prisoner were killed in drone strikes, where the United States could have captured Anwar al-Awlaki in Yemen, but the Obama administration decided that he was so dangerous he needed to die. So there's a little bit of playing with the facts there, but there's no comparison to Trump. I mean, Trump has openly said he wants to fill up Guantanamo, torture more people, kill the families of terrorists. Yes, there's a cosmetic difference, but we see the proof is in the killing. And Trump is killing a tremendous number of people with drones and with the boots on the ground military. So you have all the worst parts of Obama plus the lies, the cover-ups, and not even pretending to be about accountability.
You've also talked about a turf war between the CIA and the Pentagon when it comes to drone strikes in particular. Tell us what that means, and how does that affect what we're talking about today?
This goes back to 9/11, when Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney viewed the CIA as a kind of liberal discussion group, and so they tried to siphon away a lot of the authority of the CIA and put it in the hands of special operations forces. Under Obama, a lot of that ended up getting resolved. There still are some outstanding conflicts between CIA and the military over who controls what battlefield, but it does seem under Trump, and with the ascent of Gina Haspel, a longtime CIA officer, who may have been involved in torture, that has largely been bridged under Trump, in part because this is not a commander-in-chief who is in on the minutiae. Obama was poring over these reports. Trump's like, give me the pictures, bullet points, and make sure my name is mentioned if you want the policy to go through. So it's a lot scarier than it was under Obama, even if the net effect is of the same family, a lot of people being killed and we don't know their identities.
Jeremy, we were just going into sort of President Obama's approach on this. How does, first of all, I want to be clear, is this less data or no data that the Trump administration is advocating for?
Well, we've already seen that the Trump administration, when something goes right or they think that they've done some spectacular military operation, they want the entire world to know. Remember when Trump celebrated his dropping of the Moab, the mother of all bombs in Afghanistan? I mean, it was like the second coming of, you know, of the atomic bombing of Japan in terms of the technological significance to Trump. I think it's dirtier data is the way we could look at it, where it's going to be even more selectively presented to the public than occurred under Obama. And, you know, look, there has been a serious ratcheting up of drone strikes on the part of the Trump administration. Everyone's talking about Trump, Russia, the 2020 race. This guy has doubled down on the worst excesses of Bush and Obama. He has lifted restrictions on killing civilians. In Somalia alone, Trump now has done 20-something drone strikes in this year alone, and he has loosened the rules. Obama wanted to do so-called leadership strikes, where they're taking out known people with a track record in terrorist activity.
And yet he still had civilian casualties.
Oh, he had a lot of civilian casualties. But I'm talking about the stated policy was we are going after the leadership. Trump's not even pretending that anymore. If you are some kid who's getting paid a little bit of money in Somalia or Yemen to basically guard some post somewhere, they're going to treat you in the same way that they would treat Ayman al-Zawahiri, the leader of al-Qaeda. You are a legitimate target. The metrics of that are very complicated. And I do think that there is a direct connection between an increase in support for terrorist organizations and an increase in drone strikes, particularly those that are killing civilians. We saw that under Obama with AQAP in Yemen, al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. I think we're going to see it in a lot more places under Trump. This is a dangerous administration in terms of the capability they have militarily and with the CIA, and lying and lack of accountability. Even the minimal accountability standards that Obama put in place in the 11th hour, they've said, no, we're not going to participate in that. This is a very dangerous situation, and I think a lot of us have been making a mistake by paying not enough attention to Trump's war policies. It's bad.
Well, let's also talk about how drone warfare has evolved since President Obama. I mean, this was one of the first times, I think, under his presidency that we'd actually begun to understand how the military was using this. What makes you so concerned? Is it worse technology? Is it better technology now? Is it going to be more efficient? Where do we stand today with drone warfare?
Obama really embraced drones not out of any love for the technology. It was because he didn't want to do large-scale troop deployments, and he spent a lot of his political credibility on a national security level, convincing liberals that this is a smarter way to wage war. What we've seen, though, over the past 10 years is that a lot of civilians are killed in drone strikes, maybe not as many as would be killed in conventional Tomahawk cruise missile strikes or ground invasions. But the question is always framed as, should we do drone strikes or troops on the ground, when we should be saying, What does our engagement with the entire Muslim world look like? What is an actual sane approach to countering national security or terrorist threats?
You're talking diplomacy, right?
I mean, well, diplomacy, working with regional partners, and not being afraid to negotiate with governments that say, yeah, we are Islamic in nature, but we pose no threat to the Western world. There have been, history is rife with stories where the United States intervenes in countries because they're concerned about Islamic fundamentalism and end up overthrowing the very people that would have been the best counter to terrorism. Bush overthrew a government in Somalia in 2006. No one ever talks about it. Called the Islamic Courts Union. They were the best counter to al-Shabaab, now, the terrorist group now. There's not a lot of thinking ahead on either party's part in this country.
What happened? You said the data is going to get dirtier. Where do people go to find good information, accurate information, cleaner data about what's happening on the ground, if anywhere?
The UK-based Bureau of Investigative Journalism and the New America Foundation in the United States both have been tracking drone strikes for a very long time. I would say that the Bureau for Investigative Journalism has a very proven track record, and they're very conservative in their methodology, excuse me. It is out there, but can we trust the source that it's coming from? Under Obama at the end, yeah, they pretty much were straight shooting. Under Trump, who knows? I mean, is he going to start tweeting about this stuff and that's how we'll find out about it? And is it true? Probably not. It's bad. It's really bad.
Jeremy Scahill is a co-founder and investigative reporter at The Intercept. Thanks for joining us, Jeremy.
Thank you.